The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
So welcome. We are so glad that you are joining us today. You are listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. We are back. We have some new guests. We have some exciting announcements coming up. And I just want to say thank you to all of those who have been listening to our show, who keep listening to our show every week. You really do make a difference, and you make this show possible, not only by listening to the show, but by sharing our show with your friends and family. You may or may not know that you can access our shows on iTunes and Stitcher. All you need to do is just search Your Adoption Coach Radio or Kelly Ellison. Our goal is to really inspire and educate all folks who are touched by adoption, or maybe they're just curious about adoption, thinking about it as maybe a path. And if that might be you, or that might be a friend that you know, we'd like for you to send them our show and continue to listen. We love hearing from you. If you have an idea or suggestion about any future shows that we are doing, you can always reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or check out our archives, over 120 shows. I'm talking every topic you can think of as it relates to adoption. You can pick and choose. So those are all available, as I said, on iTunes or on Stitcher or on our website, youradoptionfinancecoach.com. So keep on listening. And we have so much more to share and so many more exciting things coming this year. Very excited about 2015. So this week, a new friend, Josh Kroll, who is here with us from the North American Council on Adoptable Children, they call it NACAC in the adoption industry. NACAC's mission is to promote and support permanent families for children and youth in the U.S. and Canada, especially children and youth who are or have been in foster care and those with special needs. And their website, by the way, is NACAC.org. That's NACAC.org, where you can go and find just a plethora of information. We're going to talk a little bit more about that on the show today, all the various different resources and information that they provide. But Josh is here. He is the Adoption Subsidy Resource Coordinator for the agency. And Josh is going to tell us a little bit about what that means and kind of what you do. So welcome, Josh. Thanks so much for being with us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Kelly. I spend a lot of my time. What we do is we track information about the state and provincial adoption subsidy programs that all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico have, as well as the Canadian provinces.
Oh, my. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
No small undertaking, I'm sure.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Keeps life busy. So that's the main part of my work. I also deal with the adoption tax credit. I'm sort of the go-to person on the staff for that also.
Okay. Yeah. So how long have you been with NACAC, Josh?
Been with NACAC just over 17 years.
Oh my gosh, just over 17 years. So you know, you're barely there, right? So, you know, before I ever talk to folks about kind of what you do professionally, have you been touched personally by adoption in your own life?
Yep, my sister was adopted from Korea as an infant, and I was 5 years old at the time. So, pretty much most of my life has been connected to adoption.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And so you've been involved with NACAC for 17 years. I know you can't really be that old. did you just know that you were going to be working with this organization, or did you always know that you were going to be working in adoption? What did you do prior to being involved with NACAC?
No, I actually, when I do workshops at conferences, I joke about the fact that my degree is in geology, focusing on groundwater.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get into that field and worked in some offices. So when I started working here, I actually was working at the front desk, asking questions of other staff so I could answer questions that people called in had. So I started out pretty blank slate 17 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, NACAC is an organization that is really devoted, as it said in your mission statement, to children and youth who are or have been in foster care and those with special needs. And I know that on your website you guys talk a little bit about your core values. This is a very in-depth organization. You guys are really, really serious about helping foster kids and helping the children who are in foster care and with special needs to find permanent families. I have to tell you that I was real impressed with all of the information. So if this is a path, anyone who's listening to our show today, if this is a path for you and you feel drawn to this, NACAC is really kind of your go-to place. So their website is NACAC. It's NACAC.org. Josh, can you share with us some of those core values of NACAC? Because I think that that's real important for people to really understand what your agency does.
That is a good open-ended question. Boy, I don't know how well I can answer it. We're really committed to I think one of the core things about NACAC, even though our focus is on the kids, our organization did start by running conferences. I mean, that's, our organization is, a lot of people know us mostly from our conference, because that gets us a lot of exposure in the adoption community. But it was started by parent support groups. And if we want to change our bylaws, those are the only members who get voting rights to any changes to the bylaws. It's not, you know, anybody can be an individual or family member or organizational member, but it's really the parent support groups. And post-adoption services are a huge part of our organization, making sure that they're available and what parents need, making sure that families and advocates know about funding streams to help fund those at the state so that they can advocate for their state or province to provide them. There's a lot of really strong policy and a real what they call math club or knowledge among staff. And we do have quite a few staff that most of the staff have a personal connection. Many of them are adoptive parents.
How many staff do you guys have, Josh?
That's a good question. We have a couple that work off-site contract. Three right now, four, I think maybe about 12 or 13.
We have an
adoptee on staff too. We've had some adoptees on staff over time too.
Oh, because one of the things that I gather from the organization is that, and you said that in terms of started by a parent support group, it's a real grassroots organization. It's really driven. I mean, you guys are really living the grassroots sort of organizational structure. Would you say that that's true?
I think so. I mean, I think we're very responsive to it, but, you know, like if any grassroots, we do have our, you know, our core staff. But, you know, like with adoption subsidy, it's primarily me on the staff that answers those questions. I do have other staff, you know, I do get to take vacation sometimes, and other staff can answer questions, including our executive director, who knew a lot more, you know, when I started, although I hopefully have surpassed him. But there's a lot of weird stuff that comes up on process, and we do have volunteers in a lot of states who are pretty knowledgeable and who are someone that we can refer families to when people have questions.
I just
had one last hour where someone was calling from Pennsylvania asking about adoption subsidy, and it's like, well, every county has a different rate structure. I don't know. Call our volunteer in your area. They're more likely to know that answer because it's just hard. It's hard tracking all 50 states and then getting into the counties in a few of the states.
Right. So how long has NACAC been around? When did it start?
I think in the late 60s, the first conference might have been in 68 in Montreal, but it was incorporated as an organization in 1974.
So, oh my gosh. So you guys have been around adoption for a long time. And has it always been an organization that's been focused on foster care and special needs?
I think actually at first, it sort of, you know, predates me, but I think even into the 80s, it was more international and transracial parents, sort of more the core issues and focus. And I think there definitely was a conscious decision to focus on child welfare adoptions.
Okay, and you guys are also in. So when you call yourself the North American Council, you are inclusive of Canada. Is that right?
Inclusive,
so you're not
Canada,
just United States.
Not really Mexico, though.
Okay.
But Canada,
okay.
Yeah, we have currently two board members from Canada, and we do work in Canada also.
Okay. So yeah. When you call yourself North American Council, you're talking about Canada and the United States. And
correct.
So a lot of the work that you guys do now, it's very interesting, I think. In 1968, that seems like forever. I mean, I was a small child, without giving too much away. I was a small child at that point. So, you know, that is a long time. I'm sure that there is a body of knowledge that is within your organization that I bet is just extremely interesting. Have you ever had an interest in that personally for yourself?
There is a lot of information. And our executive director first got involved with the organization in 1975. We're in the search process right now as he moves to retirement for a replacement. He's got 40 years of involvement with NACAC.
Oh my God.
Executive director.
Yes. I hope he plans on writing a book at some point, because that is a huge body of information and resource, I think, for folks.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys focus now on foster care and special needs, and I'm really interested, we're getting ready to take a break, but I'm really interested to drill down on this whole adoption subsidy thing, because foster care, as we know, is not that expensive. I mean, it's not, when you compare foster care to domestic or international adoption, the cost is not as expensive as those types of adoption. So I'm interested to learn more and help our audience really understand about what adoption subsidy means as we refer to foster care and to special needs. So again, I am Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Today we are with Josh Kroll, who is with the North American Council on Adoptable Children. And we're going to come back and talk more with Josh about the adoption subsidy resources that are available. A call out to our sponsors, European Adoption Consultants, EACI, and of course, America's Christian Credit Union, providing loans and grants to Christian families adopting. You are listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at YourAdoptionCoachRadio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio with Kelly Ellison, where each week, you know, our shows, our links, our resources mentioned on the show can all be found at our website, YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com. At our website, YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com, you can learn about our coaches, some great fundraising ideas, step-by-step plans for how to complete your dream of adoption. The number one barrier to adoption is the high cost, and that's where our services come in. We provide our services through our affiliate agencies, agencies such as EACI, New Beginnings, Beacon House Adoptions, A Step Ahead, Adoption Beyond, A Baby Step, Waycap Adoptions, Spence Chapin, and Steffes and Associates. I love that that list is getting longer and longer. It just means that we have more agencies that are being innovative in offering our services and really any innovative financial tools to their clients. So we're going to help you bridge that financial gap at YourAdoptionFinanceCoach.com. So we're back with Josh Kroll, who is the Adoption Subsidy Coordinator for NACAC, North American Council on Adoptable Children. I have to keep saying that so it reminds me of what NACAC stands for. So during the break, Josh, I was asking you this question. So I'm going to throw it out there. So, you know, domestic and international adoption ranges, we talk about this a lot on the show, $25,000 to $45,000. Foster care, largely subsidized, largely no cost for foster care. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, what is the adoption subsidy for if we're talking about foster care? Do you kind of see, I would love for our listeners and myself to actually get more educated on that.
Okay. So adoption subsidy basically is financial, ongoing financial support to help a family raise a child that is adopted from the foster care system. Not all children are eligible, but a large majority of them are. And each state gets to set who is eligible for the program. So okay. It could be an older kid, although older kid can be very young depending on the state. In Illinois, an older kid is 1 year old or older. Kansas, is the highest at 12 years old or older. It could be a sibling group, and it can be children with disabilities. Those are the most common eligibility criteria that kids meet.
So this is ongoing financial support. Is it like for living expenses? Is it just whatever the state, do the states govern what the support is for? Is that how it works?
The state, it's sort of complicated. The states do set the rates. The rates can't be higher than the foster care rates. That's so that they can get federal funding. So no one offers more than what a child is eligible for in the foster care system. Some of the states out there, many of the states out there will say, we'll give you what the foster care rate is for this child. And some states make you negotiate, and it could be lower or significantly lower than what the child was getting in foster care. And the rates, like if I adopt two kids and one's doing pretty well and one has a lot of issues, that child with a lot of issues may get a higher rate, likely will get a higher rate than the other child that's relatively healthy.
So you're using a new term, Josh, that I'm not sure that I'm familiar with, and that is the foster care rate. So you're telling me, I think, that when a child is placed into foster care, that they receive a subsidy from the government or from their state, federal government, right? So they would receive a subsidy.
Sometimes counties, but states.
Okay. So where does that money go? If they're in a foster home or if they are a ward of the state, typically these kids are wards of the state, right?
Yep.
So, a child, X number of age in foster care, have lost their parents for whatever reason. They're now in foster care. So $200 a month. Do you see kind of what I'm saying? Where does that money go until that child is put into a foster home or is until they are adopted?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. The foster care, once the child enters into foster care, that's when the state becomes the parent. They have the responsibility.
Okay.
They're saying, I am now parenting this child, but...
Oh, and they're paying those expenses.
Most people don't want their politicians to be parenting any of the children.
Okay.
So the state's license, these parents have to go through a process to be safe and educated to care for the children.
Right.
And then they are paid to care for the children that they are directly caring for.
Okay, so when the state sets the foster care rate, that is what the state has paid, or basically what the state has paid prior to that child getting into foster care or getting adopted. That's the rate that the state has paid for that child care.
Before the child's come into foster care, the state hasn't been a parent. They're not paying anybody because the child's with the birth parents. This is something that starts once they come into foster care.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a foster parent or it's someone who is parenting that child. But if they're living in an institution or if they're living in our version of an orphanage, right? If they're living in a group home or something like that, then the group home would be the parent. Is that right?
Right. Then the state would contract with them and pay them a fee. It would probably have a cost of living just like a parent would get, because there are daily cost of livings, but there would probably also be some administrative costs going to the facility. So a facility might get a higher rate. And just to complicate things, a number of states contract with private agencies. Some of them only contract with private agencies to do foster care placements. Some of them will contract with private agencies to do what they call therapeutic foster care for the harder kids, the kids who typically have more behavioral issues.
Right. Okay. Or even special needs, right? Medical special needs. There might be a medical special
need. It could be. I generally hear more for kids with behavioral than physical, but it could be physical disabilities too.
Right. Okay. So I'm understanding now that this is the ongoing financial support. It's part of the foster care system. This is managed by the states, right?
That set this.
So the good example that you gave in the very beginning, so somebody calls from Pennsylvania. So your website, I noticed that your website, you guys have state-by-state listings of of what is available on that state, what they provide in terms of that state. So anybody could go, if they live in whatever state they live in, they could go and they could actually see what the financial support or the subsidy would end up being for their state.
Okay.
And that's on your website at NACAC.org. So is it the same for Canada? Just for anybody who might be listening to
Canada, does it get even more complicated? In the U.S., there is a federal law that provides some consistency from state to state and provides some funding. So even though the states administer the program, the federal government may reimburse the state anywhere from 50 to 75%, depending on a formula that's used. For kids who qualify for, it's called Title IV-E. So there's a lot of consistency in the U.S. In Canada, Canada's technically a confederation, and there is very little federal child welfare law and funding. So most of the things that are done in Canada are completely different from province to province. So the provinces, most provinces have something, but one, they don't have the federal government matching a good portion of it, and two, they're just all over the place. I mean, they're all over the place. It's much more challenging to answer questions in Canada. In the U.S., it's much easier. But in general, it's a stronger program in the U.S.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I you know, you've got this organization has this history all the way back to 1968 as an international family. So I'm an adoptive parent. My daughter's from China. So this isn't even considered when a person does a domestic adoption or an international adoption. Is there a reason why there is such a separation there?
When you mean private domestic adoption?
Right. Yeah. There's never been any kind of financial support from considering.
Well, it's a program designed for kids in the public foster care system. I mean, the whole premise behind this is to not have a financial barrier to permanency for kids. You know, if I've got a kid on a respirator who needs 24-hour care, and I go to adopt that kid, and I was getting well-supported as a foster parent, and then I have no support, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, most people can't afford to do that adoption, even if they want to.
Right.
You know, they might still be able to get some community resources and benefits. Those are often means-tested, and in reality, even a kid like that, when they move to adoption, they're probably going to lose a fair bit of resources, but they'll have some. They'll hopefully have quite a bit, but it's still probably going to be less than while they're in foster care. So this helps increase permanency. I mean, that's the whole idea. Why would you say that, you know, a kid of a certain age is hard to place that's relatively healthy if it wasn't to help promote moving that kid to permanency rather than age out of the system?
Yes. And let's be very clear. And Josh, I'm not trying to make small the issue here, because we've had, as many of the listeners know, we've had Rita Sorenden on the phone with us doing an interview on the show talking about Wendy's Wonderful Kids and the foster care problem. Over 100,000 children are released from, 18,000, I think it's more than that, 18,000 children are released from foster care every year, or age out of the foster care system. So this is an issue. This is a problem. I guess I'm just saying, if I'm an international parent and I can hear a lot of my parents talking to me saying, well, golly, I'm going to China or Korea or wherever I'm going, Ethiopia and I'm adopting a child with special needs, it's kind of like, okay, we have the financial support for our own kids, which is absolutely wonderful. I'm in my entrepreneurial mind, I'm thinking, gosh, how could we create something for some help for those international families or domestic families that are adopting kids with special needs too. But it is so good to know that this is available, but I'm understanding that there are cuts that are going to be happening. So we're going to take a quick break and I want to come back and talk with you a little bit about that, some of the proposed cuts that are being discussed for adoption subsidy, which is really surprising to me and obviously politically driven. So stay with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio, and I'm here with Josh Kroll, who is the Adoption Subsidy Coordinator for NACAC. That's NACAC.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. You know, I am very excited. I've been talking about this a little bit. We are getting ready to partner with adoption.net. That's adoption.net. to broadcast our show. So please watch out for our first broadcast, our announcement. Adoption.net is the website resource for everything you need to know about adoption. Whether you're starting the process or maybe you're wondering if adoption is for you, you can check out their website at adoption.net. Tons of resources, information for you, and soon you'll be able to click on our show and listen to our latest broadcast and any of the archive shows. I'm so excited to be partnering with the adoption.net team. So stay tuned for that announcement. And we're back with Josh. Josh and I were talking during the break a little bit about my point that I made about, golly, I wish there was some ongoing financial support or something for all those families who are going down the international or domestic track. And Josh, you had a good point. So I want you to share that with our listeners about the differences in the various different subsidies and why programs are the way that they are.
Yeah. And the point, you know, and I said in the beginning, my personal connection, my sister was adopted as an infant from Korea. So clearly, I don't have anything against international adoption. But there are a lot of reasons people might look to do private or overseas. They may not want to deal with the foster care system. They may have heard horror stories. I've heard people are worried about birth family showing up, or they may have a faith calling that may say, you know, we see this child with this disability in another country, we think that they will get better care coming to the U.S., and so we're going to be what brings that child to the U.S. and make that child a part of our life. So there's lots of different ways, but the programs are designed the way they are. Those families who do adopt domestically, privately, or internationally, they can qualify for any benefits just like a birth family can. The problem is a lot of those are means tested, if they do through the foster care system, they have more access without looking at family income.
Well, and let me just echo what you're saying, and that is adoption is a wonderful way of building your family. And so whether you are drawn to domestic adoption, whether you're drawn to international adoption or foster to adopt, that is a wonderful way to build your family. And there is a special, there is a special calling, if you will. You're drawn to a certain type of adoption for whatever reason that is. And so I think you make a good point. Everyone is suited for that in a certain way. And so we always want to support whatever choice folks make. So I'm amazed with this. And we were talking a little bit more on the break. One of the reasons that you're here today is you're doing a workshop, first of all, a webinar on your website that we will give more information about. But it's a website about the adoption subsidy programs, and we'll tell more information about that. But there are some proposed cuts that are going to be happening for adoption subsidy. Is that true?
Well, I don't know of any proposed cuts yet. My program is funded by the Dave Thomas Foundation, and one of the things that we say is we're going to do two free webinars every year on adoption subsidy. One's on generic adoption subsidy. You can see the recording, access that from our website for free. And then the other one is on adoption assistance, advocating around it. I have noticed in the past years that, you know, budgets are tight with states, and there have been proposed cuts. There were quite a few proposed in 2009 when the country was in deep financial troubles, in the states particularly. Uh-huh. I haven't seen as much, but there are little tweaks that come that are making it harder for family to get support for those children that they're raising. And so we cover some of those, how to talk with legislators, how to make the case why this really does matter and makes a difference. And also, just because cuts may not be coming, it doesn't mean a family or parents shouldn't advocate to, one, make sure cuts don't come in the future, or try to make a system that's not that great right now even better. One of the things I'll be covering is with the passage of Fostering Connections, a law that was passed in 2008 that changed a huge amount of things in adoption, in child welfare, but including adoption subsidy. One of the things is it allowed adoption subsidy to continue to the age of 21, much easier for kids who are adopted at age 16 or older. So 16 till their 18th birthday, they can get continued adoption subsidy to 21, where that didn't always happen before. But the states have to opt into that. That's not a requirement. Okay. And so one of them, it's like, that's an easy one to make the case for, because it's not, sadly, it's not a lot of kids. Wish it was more kids so we had less aging out. But that's something that a family might make a financial decision on. They get more benefits if we foster and then adopt them as a legal adult later versus adopting them now.
And so, Josh, that leads me to, you know, this conversation that we have often with Rita when she's on the show about those 18,000 children that are released, that age out of foster care. So you are, I don't know what the age is. Is it 16 or is it 18?
18 or 21.
18 or 21. Okay. Yeah. So when they age out of the foster care system, are they also aging out of any subsidies that they would receive? They're out. They're on the street. No support, and that's just the way it is. They don't get any additional subsidy at all.
I'm not a total expert on that, but there was passed, I think even in 99, it was quite a while ago, the Independence Living Act, I think it's Chafee Independence Living Act, that really tried to provide services and support for the kids aging out. And that can include up to $5,000, depending on the state, for education help. They call it education training vouchers. There can be skills, life skills that are provided to them. I think they can still get some financial support, but I'm not an expert on that.
Okay. So, but the point is that what we know really supports these kids is a permanent family. A permanent loving family really supports these kids. So, I don't want folks to think, oh, they age out and then they continue to get support or they continue to get help. Without a family, without support, that makes it just exponentially more difficult to get a head start in life, to get the skill set that they need in order to get the work, in order to get to school or in order to make these life kinds of decisions.
Or when someone like me forgets their driver's license in the TSA bin and you need someone to go to the airport and get it for you and get it to you so you can come home from wherever you're
going. Right, exactly. Yeah. The basic things that I think that we take for granted on a daily basis, the basic safe things that we have when we have safety, we have support, we have love, we have all of those things, those basic things are missing. It's not as easy as just, oh, okay, I'm going to do this now for myself. You guys have done a lot of work with the Donaldson Institute, the Evan B. Donaldson Institute. I think they're called the Donaldson Institute now.
Yeah, Donaldson.
And on the 19th, you released a report with them. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I have about 3 minutes.
Can we move to something else? Sorry. I know I should have read up on it. I've just been swamped with tax credit calls.
And
it's been a while. So we've done research with other groups about the needs of post-adoption supports, of adoption subsidy, which is a form of post-adoption support, either by ourselves or with other groups. And so there is a report on that. I will be covering it in detail in my webinar next week. I just haven't had a chance to review it yet. So,
Well, what we know about the Donaldson Institute, which used to be run by Adam Pertman. Adam has been on the show a couple of times. I know they continue to do great work at the Donaldson Institute, but it's all about research about adoption, be international, domestic, foster care, all elements of adoption. And so I'm sure that it is a worthy report. Can you get a copy of the report anywhere, or is it?
Oh, it's on our website.
Is it? Okay. Yep. So you can download the report if you wanted to.
It's called The Vital Role of Subsidies. Vital Role of Adoption Subsidies. It's PDF. If you go to our website and you go to the adoption subsidy button on the top, it's a link right on that top page. And there are a couple other ones on that page too. The value of subsidies, helping children find permanent families, and an adoption assistance advocacy toolkit.
Very impressed with all the resources that are available on your website. And you've mentioned a couple of times during the show about the post-adoption services that you guys provide. And you do. There are a lot of post-adoption services that you provide for, okay, we're home. Okay, we've got, we've done it. We've adopted and we've got our family together. And then now what do you do? There are issues that are related to that. Some of these children have issues already coming into the home. And what we don't want is we don't want folks to be really terrified about that without having support, without having the kinds of resources that they need. So we're going to take a short break. And we're going to come back again. I'm with Josh Kroll, who is the Adoption Subsidy Coordinator for NACAC, NACAC.org. And we're going to talk more about, ask Josh some questions about the adoption tax credit, which I'm sure all of you are dying to know. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit about the conference that he's doing coming up. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back with our final segment with Josh Kroll, NACAC's Adoption Subsidy Coordinator. Josh is going to be conducting a webinar on February 2nd on adoption subsidy. And so he's going to talk a little bit about that in this segment. And for more information about how you can sign up for that, it's NACAC.org, NACAC.org. You can find out more information and sign up for that. So tell us about it, Josh. It's a free webinar all about adoption subsidy. Who can register? Anybody?
Anybody can register.
Okay. Who's it best suited for? Who are you? Who's your audience that you're talking to?
It might be professionals that deal with adoptions from foster care. Definitely parents who feel like they want to be advocates, either to improve the programs that exist or make sure that, if their state seems to come up with some ideas that they don't think will be good to try and change it. it's for people who probably would be thinking about foster care adoption, and it will be recorded and accessible for free. The free ones that we do, are things that people can view anytime. So if someone can't get on it, they just can't ask a question, type in a question during the show that I might then answer during my breaks. Not the show, but the webinar. Yeah.
Okay. So the folks that can register are pretty much anyone that maybe is touched by adoption through the foster care program. Now, it sounds like you guys provide other webinars, right? You provide other...
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
those cost, but we have some really good ones. We have stuff on fetal alcohol, acting out behavior, We have some really good ones. We have a whole section on webinars on our website. It's in the conference and training sections.
Okay. Okay. And are there memberships available for NACAC? Are there individual memberships or professional memberships or both?
There's individual family memberships. Those are $45. And that does get you a discount on the webinar. I think I'm pretty sure it's 20 for non-members and 15 for members.
Okay. Okay. So you can become a member of NACAC, and that would be how you might get some additional information. I know you guys have a newsletter. Yeah. You've got webinars that you promote and cover, as Josh was suggesting, various different post-adoption services that really help you deal with the issues that you might be dealing with by virtue of supporting a child in your home. So NACAC.org is the website, NACAC.org. You can go to their website to learn more. And tell us, I'm going to ask you about your annual conference, because that's really what you're known for. It says that the conference is designed to inspire, inform, and educate all members of the adoption community, including parents raising children with special needs, professionals seeking families for older children, mental health, and other professionals supporting adoptive and foster families. I've been to the conference. I was at the conference the past year in Kansas City when you guys had a presence here. This is a popular conference. I mean, several hundred people come to this each year, right?
Yeah, the numbers are down. I think we might have been to 800 back before states had a lot of budget cuts. We were 1,500 to 1,700 back in like 2001,
wow.
2003. Yeah.
Okay.
Our conference, I mean, it's a little braggy, but I'm just going to go there. Our conference is really well run, and it has, it's had a good reputation for years and years. And because of that, we get a lot of really good presenters who usually charge a lot. And so a lot of those presenters don't, but they often will get, you know, people scout conferences to find presenters. And some of them get, you know, paid speaking gigs out. So we get some really great names at our conference, like Denise Goodman, Barry Chafkin, April Dinwiddie, who's now the director of the Donaldson Adoption Institute, regularly speaks at our conference. She'd be a good person for your show if you want to reach out to her. Regina Capecchi. There's just a lot of really great people that present regularly at our show, at our conference. And we try and get a good mix of different topics for people, you know, people that deal with attachment, because that's a very common issue, policy stuff, running support groups. We don't do as much, but we do stuff with kinship adoption. We do stuff with openness in adoption, as well as access to birth records. So both from the parent side, but also the adoptee side. Whenever we go to Canada, there's a very heavy Native population in their child welfare system, so we do a whole track on that because that's a huge issue in Canada when we have our conference there.
So yeah. The 2015 conference is going to be, where are you going to be in
2015? We're going to be in Long Beach.
Okay.
California, so L.A. area.
And it's usually in July, isn't it?
Late July or early August.
Okay. Is there a cost to attend the conference or individual family?
Yes. I don't know if the rates have been set yet and posted. Yeah, they're not posted yet. It's probably like, I want to guess. I don't know if you remember what it cost for you last year. $260 or $270 for an individual around there.
It's pretty reasonable
if you're a member.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And there's discounts for parent couples also. It's, you know, like if two people are parenting a child together, they can register together, and that does reduce their cost, because we've always wanted it to be parent friendly. Got a nice mix of parent and professional. So, you know, some conferences are all one, some are all the other. Ours is a good mix of both.
Yes, I found that. Yeah. I found that that was true when you were here in Kansas City this year. There's a good mix of folks, lots of information. Again, this is an amazing grassroots organization that is really committed to supporting children and youth who are in foster care and those with special needs. It's really helping them to support and promote permanent families for these children in the United States and also in Canada. So I don't have time to talk about the adoption tax credit, Joel, or Josh, I'm going to ask you to come back and share that with us, because we have a lot of folks who are very interested in the adoption tax credit, and my promise to the listeners is we'll have that before April. Does that sound good? We'll try and do something before April and have you back just talking about that, because it really does affect so many people, and they're so we did a webinar on the adoption tax credit about a month ago, a live webinar with Becky Wilmoth at Bill's Tech Service, and had over 60 people on the webinar. So lots of interest there. But I want to thank you for being on the show today again, visiting with Josh Kroll, who is with NACAC. He is the Adoption Subsidy Resource Center Coordinator. And we want to thank you for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, or if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradioadoptioncoachradio.com, or you can visit our website, our host page at voiceamerica.com, soon to be on adoption.net as well. So thanks for joining us. You can tune in next week at 12 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Central, and 3 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, make it a great week. Thanks so much.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.